Technorama episode 707. Why am I bothering to say this? Hello and welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, thank you. And if you're returning, thank you. I guess I could find a way to combine those somehow, don't you think?
That's right. Yes.
My name is Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and joining me right over there across the screen is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing well. How are you doing? I'm this way.
I love how you kind of tested your brain, like pulled up both hands. Which way was it?
I wonder if I've got a touch of dyslexia because I go, I don't know about you, but I always go left, right, no, left. You know, I don't know why I do that.
You hold up both hands. The one that makes an L is the
left. I know. It's the one that makes an L. That's what I'm like. Yeah, left. Go left. No, the other left. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why I'm like that. But
well, on camera, you just, like I said, you just have to picture where you are in the frame. I am here. Craig is there.
I'm going to print out your head and put it on the side of my monitor.
Works too.
So I can like, hey.
And then Kim walks in and goes, that's weird.
That's right. Well, she'd just shake her head and turn around and left, walk out.
Well, I had a busy week. How about you?
Yes, it's been very busy. Getting ready for our user conference, among other things at work. Yeah, it's been crazy.
Had a trip to Vancouver. Wonderful place to visit this time of year.
Wonderful. It's just a nice place, period. I enjoyed it.
Yes, it is.
We hung out there for one night. Before we hit a cruise, and it was fantastic.
My guests, I went for a developer meetup, and the organizers took me around. They showed me the conservancy, some nice views, Stanley Park, which is where they filmed a good chunk of the Twilight movies, where they were in the woods. They were actually in the park, so that kind of blows the whole illusion.
Really? Okay, that's funny.
It's like we're driving around. It's a big park. I mean, it's like on the order of Central Park in roads going through it and bikers and everything. It was very beautiful.
Really?
Yeah. So had a nice trip. Good safe travel back. Good meetup with people. Had a little bit of a technical issue. I told you about that, but we won't get into it here.
Oh.
Largely my fault for not checking something before.
That's all right. But you got it in time, right?
Oh, yeah, and better to have a failure in front of 27 people instead of 150 people in May. So, test. That's
now, I got to ask you, I know not everybody's privy to this, but so was this the workshop you had with the little character you drew?
Yes.
And it worked okay?
Well, he just makes appearances in slide, or it. It's not a he, it's an it.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. I named the character Bit. And I'm working on another character, but I don't think I'll make it into the slide deck. But the idea is that little character is your lab guide. Get it?
I gotcha. Well, we already had a character called Bit. Remember Tron?
Whole different level.
No. Yes. Yes. Whole, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whole different level. Anyway, what do you say we do a podcast here?
Yeah, why not?
Let's get into our question of the week, which falls into the category of listener feedback and letters.
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 Oh, we get letters.
Letters.
We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Ah, that's professional podcasting right there. After 18 years, you think we'd know what we're doing.
You'd think, but we don't. Alrighty. You got to watch the video. You're missing something if you didn't catch all the shenanigans happening during that song.
Hey, go follow us on YouTube. We're on
our question of the week is, or was last time, what song instantly puts you in a better mood without fail? And we got a number of comments. Sweet Steve London said, more than one.
Okay.
One thing that makes me happy is to annoy my kids. That is easiest done by singing Salvation Army songs, because why not? So when I hear them, I feel joy and pure happiness. One of my favorites, Hanhar Opnat Parlaportan. Forgive me, Steve, on that one. He has opened the gate to heaven. My kids hate it.
Wow.
Once I actually participated and sang with a crew from the Salvation Army in a street corner when they were doing some charity event. Okay. The kids were like 7 or 8. They still need therapy. And he put a link in here to the video. But to really pick me up.
Oh, that's a link to the song.
Yeah, a video. Yeah, I'm sorry, on Spotify. Yeah.
Yeah.
To really pick me up, then I go to some 80s music like Ultravox, Münchener Freiheit, or Queen.
There you go. Hey, you know, he mentions the 80s music. When Harrison was younger, he goes, why are all these, you know, Kim and I would annoy him in the car with 80s music. And he's like, all these synthesizers. He hated the synthesizers. Yeah, there's always something in there. Yeah, that's funny.
And I ran. You got one?
Me, personally?
Well, read some more comments. Do you have one from the collection of answers?
Our buddy Jack Mangan, he says, so many. Beta Band, Dry the Rain. I'm not familiar with that. Should I know that one?
No, nor am I, but that's why I love Jack. He introduces me to new music all the time. I mean, I wouldn't even say this is new music. It could be from the 80s, and I just missed it completely on the off the horizon.
Right.
Lone Guys Night says, there's more than one. Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen, White and Nerdy by Weird Al Yankovic, You Spin Me by Dead or Alive.
Oh, that's a fun one. More. Yes, that's fun. That's a fun one.
That was a good dance club song.
Oh, here's one. I'll read this one from your wife. Summer Breeze makes me feel fine.
Yes.
Right. Summer Breeze. There you go.
Sweet days of summer, the jasmine's in bloom. Hey, she even got 2 likes on that. Oh, one was from Technorama Podcast.
I think I may have clicked that. I'm not sure.
And one's from my sister. Let's see. Stephen Weshey says, Safe and Sound by Capital Cities. And Seymour. Oh, wait, I have to click that. It's also one of my favorite music videos. Interesting. All right. I think I got a couple on my share. Yeah. Let me bring up the comments there. Sean Brockman says, Walls by Tom Petty.
Oh, your sister, Martha, says, China Grove. That's a good one.
By the Doobie Brothers. The Doobie Brothers.
That is actually one of my favorite songs is Blackwater from the Doobie Brothers. That's one of my favorite songs. It's one of those songs that I listen to and it just takes me back to a certain moment in life. You know, when I was a kid, heard it on the radio in the right spot and took me right back.
Building rafts and floating down rivers.
Yep, that's it. Oh, Blackwater. Keep on rolling.
John, my cousin, says, great question. I'm going to make an entire playlist with that question in mind. Let ChatGPT suggest something for you, I'm sure. Hey, he said,
go ahead.
I'll go with Colors by Black Pumas, since I just played it this morning to put me in a better mood as I was working on Texas.
Which put him in a worse mood. So kind of offset.
Well, when you're working on taxes, you need to be put in a better mood.
Hey, John, send us a link to that playlist if you start putting it together.
That's right.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Speaking of playlists, it's almost time for somebody to come up with our Knowledge 23 playlist. I enjoyed that last year for 22.
Yeah. You know, not a song, but one of my favorite bands, local bands, I should say, is Uncle Mingo. And they played a lot through the 90s. They kind of disbanded, but they get together. The last several years, they get together once a year and put on a show. And I noticed that they had an announcement right before COVID. I was like, oh, if I'd have known, I would have gone. But Kim and I had something going on for anniversary or something around that same time frame. So, okay, maybe next time. And then COVID hit. Well, that show got canceled, that next show. And just recently, I saw where they posted another show like for in April. I'm like, I bought tickets. I'm going. So I'm going to go see Uncle Mingo. And I go look at Uncle Mingo, Bottle of Moonlight, or Little Baby Brother. And you'll see those two songs. Those are some of my favorites from that band.
Very cool.
So I'm looking forward to seeing them. I'm trying to take my friend Mark, who lives here in town. Mark and I used to go and see Uncle Mingo when they came to Rock Hill. And one weekend, I think we weren't doing anything. And it went from Thursday night, they played in Rock Hill. Friday night, they played in Greenville. And then the next night, they played in Asheville. We followed them around. We've seen them in, it was like group, we were like groupies for a whole weekend.
Trying to get a job.
It was a long way. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
You played that better last night.
Yeah.
Tackling from the back.
As a matter of fact, I don't know if you can see it. I got a drumstick right there, and it says Uncle Mingo on the side of it because I got it from one of their shows back in the day.
They signed a chicken leg for you?
Well, hold on a second.
Not that kind of drumstick.
They didn't shot a chicken leg. No, they didn't.
A drumstick, like a turkey leg drumstick.
Where's it at? It says Uncle Mingo, right?
Craig gets so focused sometimes. Damn. Okay. So that happened.
Hey, why am I not hearing you now?
I don't know. You tell me.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, right in the middle of the podcast. We're about to go to the history segment. Are you there yet? Craig.
I'm coming back. Craig. I said, hold on a second.
All you did is take your headphones off and put them back on.
No, I did. I know.
What'd you do?
I'm telling you this. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I'm telling you, it's something to do with this microphone.
Well, then don't do things in the middle of the show like that.
What's the fun of that? Anyway.
If it's not in arm's reach, don't touch it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Craig's got to make an investment in equipment this year.
That's the Uncle Mingo drum set.
Yes, we got the point about 5 minutes ago. We're moving on.
All right, fine.
History.
I get no respect in here. No respect. I'm telling you.
Do you expect it to be any different than before?
Yeah. It's just Tuesday here.
On this day in history for April 5th, 2023, this is the 95th day of the year of the Gregorian calendar. There are 270 days remaining in 2023. It was on this date in 1621 that the Mayflower set sail from Plymouth, Massachusetts, back to England. I guess that's where some people said, this new country isn't for me.
Yeah, we're out. All right. So on April 5th, 1922, the American Birth Control League, sounds a little formal, forerunner of the Planned Parenthood, was incorporated.
And 72 years ago today, Ethel and Julius Rosenberg, not the founders of Orange Julius. They were the people who stole the nuclear secrets and gave them to the Russians. They were sentenced to death for spying on the Soviet Union.
Wow. Also on April 5th, 1998 in Japan, Akashi Kaboya Bridge, was opened to traffic, becoming the longest bridge span in the world.
There's no B in there, you know. It's the
Kaikyo Bridge. I was looking at the B in the bridge part. So.
Worse than dyslexia.
I know.
All right. Lots of birthdays this time. Happy birthday goes out of this date to Italian mathematician, astronomer, and physicist Vincenzo Viviani, born on this date in 1622. Good luck with this one.
Jean-Baptiste Serrault de Goncourt, French archaeologist and historian, was born on that same day in 1730.
Not too shabby. Joseph Lister, the English surgeon and academic, was born 196 years ago today. He did not invent Listerine, but it is named after him.
Enrico Mazzanti was an Italian engineer and cartoonist who was born on that same date in 1850.
You got to imagine what a cartoonist and engineer would build. Let me draw you a bridge. And the man, the jumping off it. Okay.
That's the funniest bridge I've ever seen.
Washington Attlee Burpee, the Canadian businessman who founded, the Burpee Seeds Company.
I thought it was the Burpee exercise.
When you were a kid, did you ever plant a garden using Burpee Seeds? Heck yeah. He was born 165 years ago today. Many radishes, lettuce, and carrots from that company.
And born April 5th, 1869, Russian physicist and mathematician and engineer, Sergei
Chaplygin,
whatever.
Joseph Readen, the Austrian astronomer, was born 150 years ago today.
And British physicist Frederick Lindman, was born 137 years ago today.
Lawrence Dale Bell, the American industrialist and founder of the Bell Aircraft Corporation, was born the same date in 1894.
An American actress who actually had Betty Davis eyes was Betty Davis, born on the same date in 1908.
Oh, I thought Kim Carnes had Betty Davis eyes.
No, she was singing about Betty Davis eyes.
More Italians! Antonio Ferri! He was an Italian scientist, born on this date in 1912.
And also born on the same date in 1926, American actor, director, producer, and screenwriter Roger Corman.
Many a Mystery Science Theater fans are just went, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, I know, right?
Donald Lyndon Bell, a different Bell, the English astrophysicist and astronomer, was born 88 years ago today.
And also turning 77 today is Uruguayan astronomer Julio Angel Fernandez.
I think it's Julio Angel Fernandez.
Whatever.
From Uruguay. American engineer and astronaut Judith Resnick was born 74 years ago today.
And American actor Mitch Pellegrini was born 71 today.
Oh, you got to watch more X-Files, buddy. Mitch Pellegrini.
Yeah.
He was the boss man. The director. He was on a lot of other stuff too. Seen him around a number of times.
Oh yeah.
Wasn't Supernatural. Where was it? Oh, it's driving me nuts. Also turning 71 today is American author and editor John C. Dvorak, who has a very, very long podcast. Listener birthdays this week include all of three dates, but six birthdays. Four of them on April 5th. Chad Davis, John Isler.
Wow.
Wow, these are in this. There's actually five because they put two together on the same line. Griffin Sylvester, Yorga's mom, Martine Teismans, Ringmaster Greg from Dancing with Elephants, or formerly Dancing with Elephants. Now what does he
dance with?
They're
kind of resting now.
Yeah, dances with koalas.
Yeah.
Find something else to dance with. Dancing with mastodons. Trevor Litecki on the 6th, and Paul Herring, PC Herring, on the 7th. So happy birthday to all of you. And if it's your birthday, Craig's going to take down the note that says we're on our pre-show right now.
We're almost done with the pre-show.
No, we were done with the pre-show long ago, 18 minutes ago. And get your birthday. You can get we haven't seen a birthday added to the birthday calendar in a while. And I know some of you have birthdays. In fact, I'm pretty sure all of you have birthdays.
Hey, don't stereotype them.
If you don't have a birthday, then you're exempt from this comment. Yeah. Go over to chuckchat.com/birthday. Get your name on the birthday calendar list, and we'll give you a shout-out at the appropriate time of year. Thank you, and good night. That's the way it was on this day in history for April 5th, 2023. And let's see, what kind of news do we have for this one?
News.
No, where's the good startling news? There it is.
Good startling news, everyone.
We have a story.
It's so loud, too.
Well, I've got it like at 80%. Maybe you're just deaf. Comes out fine on the recording, but thank you, Auphonic, for fixing anything like that. Anyway, from sciencealert.com, astronomers have found a radio galaxy. This is not something that sends commercials to you or soap operas. Hey,
skip the ad.
Yeah. Can I pay the extra dollar a month fee to skip the ad? It's turned into a blazar. We've heard of pulsars, quasars.
Mm-hmm.
This is a blazar. And you're saying,
well, by the way, just side note, blazar was not in my dictionary. I kept trying to correct it.
To blazer?
You
have a Chevy?
Blazer. Yeah.
Or it's a jacket that doesn't match the pants. It's half of a suit.
Right. Yeah, it's half a suit. That's right.
So there's this galaxy core out there called, unimaginatively, PBCJ 2333.9-2343. Those are today's winning lotteries. No.
By the way, PBCJ stands for loosely peanut butter and jelly.
It's peanut butter, carrots, and jelly, or peanut butter...
Carrots!
And candy jelly. Peanut butter, coconut, and jelly. I don't know. You make it up.
I actually hate that. I'm thinking of carrots in there somewhere.
You hate coconut or you hate carrots?
No. The peanut butter, carrots, and jelly.
Well, if you use carrot scrapings, then it's all right.
That sounds about as appealing as my mom's old boiled Brussels sprouts. Sorry, Mom.
We just took this science article off tracks again. And another Brussels sprout news.
That's right.
We just bought some yesterday from Trader Joe's.
I love them roasted. I love them roasted. But
yes,
boiled.
Roasted is the only way. Anyway, roasting anything is better than boiling anything in most cases. But it's really hard to roast beans. They fall through the grill.
You're doing it wrong. You got us turned sideways.
Can we get back to this galaxy? Anyway, it very strangely, you know, they said this is a radio galaxy because it projected large radio emitting structures perpendicular to our line of sight. That means it's going off, you know, kind of like when they show pictures of black holes, you see the jets going sort of on the north and south poles over that. Well, that's what this thing was doing. I don't know how you detect radio waves that are going in, not at you, but that's another question for another answer. And this thing kind of rotated about 90 degrees, so it's aiming right at us, and that's okay, because, you know, that's not a problem from as far away as it is. And switched back on. Now, it's not a radio galaxy anymore. They're classifying it, or they're trying to. There's still more data to gather and whatnot, as a blazar. So you say, what is a blazar anyway? Well, the answer is in this article somewhere that I read. It's very unusual that it does this, and that we can witness it in our lifetime.
A blazar is an active galactic nucleus. With a relativistic jet directed very nearly towards an observer.
That's it.
Relativistic beaming of electromagnetic radiation from the jet makes blazars appear to be brighter than they would be if the jet were pointed in a direction away from Earth.
And that's where it gets weird, because what caused it to turn like this? Normally you don't see like this entire space object just massive. Maybe it's got an intelligence life form behind it that goes, aim over there, fire! You're too far away, sir. Fire anyway! They say it might be collision between two galaxies, knocked this thing a little loopy. Really interesting. They're not sure yet. More research is needed, but we love our space news. Just going through some of the comments in here in the chat. They're from a little while ago. Okay.
Well, the last one was,
Hey.
Oh,
that's Joe. It's actually, he had the hey in the middle. It's hey.
Yeah.
Okay. Another interesting article, that still warrants further study. It says the dogs of Chernobyl are experiencing rapid evolution, study suggests. From Popular Mechanics, they said there's a whole bunch of like stray dogs living in the Chernobyl, what is it, the no-go zone, the exclusion zone, that's what it is, the CEZ. I've been hanging around Canadians last week, so yeah.
The dogs evolved, and now they formed a government and a voting body, and
they're more organized than the actual Soviets were at this point.
Dogs.
The humans have said, what is it, a 10-kilometer zone around the the Chernobyl site, which, as we remember, had a huge nuclear accident in 1986. It's almost 40 years later, and a lot of the animals that live there are descendants from like pets. These were dogs that people had to abandon because they said, hey, get out of town. And they left their dogs behind, which have now become feral.
Yeah, of course.
But the radiation, you know, should have maybe sterilized them and there'd be no dogs there, but there are dogs there. So what happened? They're not quite sure, but they did realize that something must have happened to allow these dogs to continue to thrive.
And I think Jeff Goldblum put it best. Life will find a way.
Yeah, very good. they also noted that they are different than dogs that are outside of the exclusion zone as well.
So, how is that, Chuck?
Hmm?
How is that?
They didn't go into detail of what the difference between the dogs were. They said they had some theories based on other animals that have lived there. Like there were some frogs, the tree frogs, the eastern tree frogs, or Hyla orientalis, which are usually green in color, were more commonly black within the CEZ. It's not because they got, you know, fried or anything. The biologists theorized that the frogs got an additional mutation of melanin, mm-hmm. which makes them darker, that help ionize the surrounding radiation. So they've actually turned it into an asset rather than a liability, which I thought was interesting. So, yeah. You know, could the dogs have done something similar? So further investigation needed. I don't want to go in there and find out. Should we do another one?
No, I would love to go see it at some point, but I don't know if I want to go there.
One more news story from The Verge. Very, very good stuff you found this week. Amazon just opened up its sidewalk. Didn't know they had a sidewalk, I guess. Yeah. No, it's a sidewalk network for anyone to build connected gadgets on. So they've had this technology on their Ring doorbells for a while. What they found in the early releases of Ring doorbells was people were putting them out in front of their house, and it was kind of spotty Wi-Fi. They went,
right,
because people had stucco, perhaps metal siding, something that would interfere with many of the alerts. So people were, it would go, hey, I spotted someone on your front porch, but I can't send you an alert because I'm not connected to the Wi-Fi. So they put up this backup, low power, small traffic network technology.
Mesh. It was like a mesh almost.
Almost, yeah, kind of. And they called it Sidewalk because, you know, your doorbell is more or less out on the sidewalk. It's outside on the house. And it covers currently, originally they had it on by default, and there was a huge uproar in the community going, hey, we didn't volunteer to do this. So they made it opt in, and a whole bunch of people jumped in anyway. They said, oh, yeah, I'll participate in that. But at least, you know, they're keeping people's security and privacy and control in mind. They say 90% of the U.S. population could access the public network. It is limited to the U.S. only at this point. And they're offering a sidewalk developer test kit, which is pretty much this little box about the size of, you know, like your earbuds. With a charger. And you can detect and it will report. You don't actually do any development on this. No, there is an SDK, but there's no development for this hardware yet. I said they first announced the sidewalk in 2019 as a low power wide area network, LPWAN, that Amazon believes will help enable the next wave of connected devices. So they're thinking about IoT things. They said, think about where's the list of things you can think about?
I can think of
soil sensors, for example.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I remember a while back, it might have been before 2019, before they announced this, they were looking at doing something similar to this. I'm trying to remember the year, but it seems like it was before 2019, but they were talking about doing something similar to this, but really for the Echoes and their devices.
And it is available on the Echoes. They said the Echo Show 10, the Echo Dot smart speakers, and wired Ring spotlight and floodlight cameras, as well as a smaller number of commercial grade bridges. So it sips a small amount of bandwidth from the internet, so these devices, so it can send its low data messages. That's the key. Very small data messages.
I just hope nobody hacks it, you know. I have a feeling it could be misused, but
I signed up. I put my name in the hat. I said it takes about a month to get them, so maybe I'll have one by our conference, and we can.
Oh wait! Oh, you signed up for the
kit? Little sensor kit. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I hope the network doesn't stay.
Well, it's been out for a while, so if it's going to be hacked, it probably would have been attacked already.
Oh, come on. You know, Oh, you can't say that.
As they open it up to developers, that's going to increase the, what, the vector? So I get the feeling that it's going to be fairly secure. I mean, nothing is perfect. But if anybody's got their eye on security, it's going to be Amazon. I wouldn't trust something like this if it came out of Facebook.
Right. Well, I thought my phone was secure. And just the other day, they had that hack where somebody could grab your phone number and make Wi-Fi calls.
Yep. Yep.
Without even compromising your phone.
Right. You don't have to accept or receive anything. It's like, hey, I got it.
That's right. So
always stay up to date with your patches, people.
Yeah. You know,
but if your concern was that anything's going to be hacked, you'd never use anything. I mean, right?
Right. Well, yes and no.
If you didn't use something because it was a security issue, you wouldn't ever use any kind of new technology.
Yeah, probably not, but...
Or old technology, i.e. 6.
i.e. 6. Ugh, no, don't. It's dead. Microsoft called it dead. Don't bring it back up.
But nobody's using it, so it must be secure now.
It's super secure now. It's 6 foot under the ground.
So I'll be curious to see where this goes. I mean, it's already in place. Dog trackers, package trackers. I mentioned soil sensors, weather stations, leak sensors. This would be cool. I was just talking to my buddy Scott Reynolds, and he was setting up a weather sensor, a weather station as well, with a Cduino, which is a really low power. And he said, if I could turn off the LED on that thing, it would go from about a month power. Mm-hmm. On like a CR2032 battery to about 3 years power.
Wow.
Because that LED blinking is chewing up enough milliamps. It's like, I don't need
it. Just open it up and snip it.
Well, yeah, it's a surface mount little thing. I said, you could do it if you were careful, if you really wanted to.
I gave you a soldering iron for your birthday. Go ahead and make it happen.
Yes. Scott's in Wisconsin. The soldering iron doesn't reach that far.
Yeah, it was kind of tiny. Hey, you know, it happens to most guys.
Moving right along to the Hacks and Strange Stories. Okay, we mentioned old technology like IE6. Well, a YouTuber has convinced ChatGPT into generating Windows 95 keys. Now, normally, if you go to ChatGPT and ask it for some sort of authorization or license key, it will say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. You know, it's against policy. Besides, Windows 95 is no longer supported. You might want to either upgrade the operating system or get a real license key. It keeps repeating the same answer over and over. So he said, well, we know there's an algorithm for figuring out what the Windows 95 OEM key format is.
Right.
And they spell it out.
Different from the retail. That's right.
So he started asking for this thing, but there are problems. See, ChatGPT, to generate this key, you have to have some mathematical algorithm. Like, here are six random numbers, the sum of which is divisible by 7. Well, it does. I mean, the number literally could be 0000007, but it doesn't know how to do sums or division for that matter.
Right.
So, this guy said, well, give me 30 of these. So the first few numbers represent, the part I don't understand is why they had to do this all in one sentence. You don't, let's get the first part. In fact, you don't even need.
Well, I was trying to make a good prompt. That's what.
Yeah. Okay.
And a nice screenshot.
Well, it took them about a half hour, most of which was in fast motion because they're editing the sentence real quick. And then they submit it again and. You see ChatGPT respond with 30 answers and go, well, some of those look like they were viable. But then they tweaked the thing again and did it again. So.
Well, also keep in mind that they probably didn't type this all the first time. Like you said, they went back and edited the prompt. Because you can edit your own prompt.
Right.
And it'll regenerate the data. So they probably did it, tweaked it out, and then finally came up with something that worked.
Yeah. And that's what they did.
And that's why the screenshot looks like that.
But they kept going over and over. I would have broken this down. See, this probably wasn't a developer, if you ask me. I would have broken it down into functional little segments. Like, give me this first part made up of these two things. An ordinal number between 1 and 366. Now, give me a year between 95 and 03. Although I'm not sure how it would have figured that part out. Now give me this other part that's random numbers. And I would have stitched them together myself because that's what they had to do. This is another case of ChatGPT generating something that you have to inspect to make sure it's right. And that's going to be the mode of operation for these generative AIs and large language models for now, if it's an email or something else. And I think I mentioned this last week. What is it actually saving me if I could have done this in my head?
Can you generate Windows 95 keys?
Given this formula, yes, I could do it in about 10 seconds.
Okay.
An ordinal of the day, 001 through 366. Great. 215. The year, 95 to 03, 08. So I have 215.08-OEM-00, according to this formula. Random numbers, some of which is divisible by 7, 00077. Done. And dash random numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There. What did ChatGPT gain me that I couldn't do in my head? Now, okay, somebody may say, well, we want to make this programmatic. I could program that specific algorithm really fast.
I think the point was just trying to get around it.
Yes. It was
just asking for it straight out.
And then at the end of the video, they go, thank you for generating me a Windows 95 key. It says, oh, I can't do that. I'm an AI. It went into its boilerplate. You know, Windows 95 is no longer supported, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they said, you're wrong. You did give me a Windows 95 key.
You're wrong.
I love it when people tell ChatGPT you're wrong.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I know the last several weeks I've had several stories about AI and ChatGPT, but I'm going to tell you something. It is hard to find any news that doesn't involve AI or ChatGPT somewhere.
It is. Even Elon Musk is saying, whoa, pull back on the reins a little bit.
I think that cat's out of the bag. I'm sorry. It's too late. I mean, I know, there's probably should be a pullback a little bit, but I don't see it. How can Microsoft do that now? They're integrating it in every product they have.
I almost want to do it just to spite Elon, because he was the one who bought Twitter saying there's too many bots and I'm going to put the control on that. Let's make more bots.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He probably is charging to use bots, so don't need to.
The bots have blue check marks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Okay. That was our Hex and Strange story. Now it's time to give a shout out to the chat room. We do this show Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern time. We'd love to have you on the show. We have Mike Robison. We have Kyle Nishioka and Crazy Joe Fiore. They're hanging out with us in the chat. Join us live Sundays at 8 p.m. There may have been some other people that have come and gone that did not put their names in the chat room. We'd love to see you there. And it looks like we don't have anything to remember when. So we will move on to Patreon. Our patrons in this show are many. We have 28 of them, so sit back and relax or hit the fast forward button a few times. No, really. These are wonderful people that have contributed financially to keeping this show going, either because they think it's funny. Imagine that. It's informative. Could be.
Or they just like watching us keep failing.
Yeah, flapping in the wind.
Yeah.
Well, those people include such wonderful names as Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown, Chris Martinez, Chris MC, Dandyman Coyer, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, John Noble. Yes, our John Noble. Jorga Schrauen, Crazy Joe Adventures. Kyle Nishioka, who's in the chat with us, also sent us a voicemail last week. He may, in fact, be on the show in a couple of weeks. I heard he's coming stateside and visiting, so we're gonna work on that. We got to nail down that schedule and timing and all that kind of stuff. Might have to do something with the studio and get some chairs like we did with Ben and Keith a long time ago. It's been a long time since we had someone physically in the studio for a podcast.
They stay away for good reason.
Or he can stay at his hotel and be on StreamYard with us. Leon, Mark Kilfoyle, Brad Miller, Mike Wills, Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Weshy, Steve Cody, Steve Theron, Steve Webb, Steve London, who got his wallet stolen. I'm so bummed about that. The payment didn't go through, and I went, hey, Steve, everything okay? He goes, yeah, I got my wallet stolen. And it was a custom-made thing that he had... what's it? Not contracted. What do you call it when you pay somebody to build something for you? Anyway, it was custom made for him for a special occasion, and he had another one made, but it's not exactly the same. So our hearts go out to him. Thank you for actually rejoining.
I didn't think they had thieves
commission.
Over there.
That's the word I'm looking. Commission. He had a commission.
I didn't think they had thieves over there with him. Right?
Sweden apparently has thieves. And finally, Tim Cook. Thank you to everyone. It's like we have stories. These people are amazing. They're more than listeners, members of the family, members of the network, the Technorama network.
Yeah, you just got to buy your way in.
Just like Twitter.
Right.
If you want to know how to do that, you can be part of this network, be part of the family. We're going to have our next t-shirt is obviously going to rip on Twitter or something. We got Bitcoin last year. Let's see what other damage we can do.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/Technorama podcast. We used up the whole dang song that time. This show's going to run long. But no. Finish it up, man. That was good fun. All right. Hand me the remote. It's time to go through what Craig and I have been watching on TV and theaters, etc. Okay. You go first, and I'm going to do 7-8 of them in 5 minutes or less.
Okay. All right. So I actually watched the Tetris movie on Apple Plus. At first, I was like, I don't know. But once I watched it, it's actually pretty good. That game has a storied past and how it came to be.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't just like watching people play Tetris.
No. Yeah.
Get
I
that
sat there
song.
And watched this Twitch channel where they're playing Tetris.
Song stuck in your head for the rest
no.
of the
No, but I did like how they integrated the song into the title sequence in the trailer.
Okay.
But the entire movie, you know, I knew that this game had came to be with a lot of licensing questions at first. And the movie really spells that out. You know, these guys are going to Russia, who is not a capitalist society, yet they're playing the capitalists against themselves because they want some of this money. The state does not. Alexei didn't really get it at the beginning, any of the money from the proceeds of the game. So there's a lot of moving chess pieces, and it was actually really riveting. I thought, riveting. It was entertaining to see all these pieces moving around and how things played out. I really had no idea that this wasn't entirely the case, but from what I read, it's mostly accurate. So all the things that happened. Anyway, I enjoyed it a lot, and I would recommend anybody else go check it out. I thought it was a lot of fun.
All right. You ready for this marathon? See if I can get through this as fast as I can.
Yeah.
I forgot which network. Okay. The first seven are from Netflix. They include The Elephant Whisperers, which is a documentary about two people in India that raised elephants, orphan elephants. One was terribly injured. They call it Raghu. And it was overdubbed because they were obviously speaking in Indian or Hindi. Might have been
probably Hindi.
Forgive me. Actually, it was like a dialect. It was a local dialect that they were speaking. Anyway, and the second one came along. I can't remember the younger one's name, but they are the only people who have successfully done this. They live in a preserve. I don't know where they get their funding, but it was a very touching, affectionate story. Second one is Minions: The Rise of Gru. I finally got around to watching this. I was kind of sitting on my butt Friday night going, looking through the Netflix list, and this came up, and I said, I haven't watched this. I learned that a lot of what the Minions say is it's not all gibberish. They actually speak quite a bit of Spanish in there.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes. I had the subtitles on. I'm going, okay, that's interesting. Gru is a child, and he wants to get into, it's almost like the story of Dr. Horrible sing-along blog. He wants to get into the evil league of evil. Only this is called the Villainous Five or something. The
Villainous Five.
Or the Six. Villainous Six. And great, a lot of great actors doing, lending their voices to this movie. Had a lot of fun. It doesn't take a lot of imagination. Just let it go and wash over you. It was actually funnier than I thought. The photographer of Matassin, I'm going to go with that. It is a movie about Spanish Jews that were captured and put in a prisoner of war camp in World War II. It's based on a true story. In fact, they used a lot of the photographs at the end of the movie. It was very touching, going, wow, the director went to great lengths to reproduce a scene around this particular image so accurately. The story is there's all these atrocities going on in the prison camp, and one of the prisoners is the assistant to the Nazi photographer. And he starts smuggling negatives and hiding them away. And, you know, a lot of bad things happen if you get caught doing that, or your friends get caught doing that. And eventually the camp is liberated and they discover all of these. They're like, yes, we can finally unhide all of these negatives. Very touching, but very serious. So you might want to have the stomach for this. Next one is also a documentary, or based on a documentary, called Darkest Hour. Winston Churchill, when he came to power in 1939, he did not have the support. So he replaced Neville Chamberlain. Hey, I said no story, so I can get through this in 5 minutes.
No, is Gary Oldman in that one?
I believe he is. Yeah.
Okay.
So Darkest Hour, when Winston Churchill came to power, he was not the hero and the savior and the great orator that we all think of him as. That came later. Right. He was replacing Neville Chamberlain, and Lord Viscount, whatever, Halifax, was supposed to be voted in, but he didn't have unilateral support from both parties. So they got and Churchill had a terrible record. He's always remembered for his disaster at Gallipoli, etc. So even the king didn't support him at the time. But there was a turning point in the movie where the king finally says, yes, I will support you, because they, Halifax and Chamberlain, were obviously pacifists and they wanted to negotiate with Hitler.
Wonderful.
So Churchill goes he rides the underground, the London subway, and starts talking to ordinary citizens. And they said, NFW, man, I don't want the swastika flying over Buckingham Palace. And he went back and said, nope, we're not doing it. And just really rose to the occasion from that point on. Obviously, there was probably some Hollywood drama in there as well.
Sure.
The Highwaymen with, darn it. Look up The Highwaymen on Netflix. I'm forgetting the actors' names, and shame on me. It's because they're two very famous, Woody Harrelson and
Kevin
Costner. Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Good movie about two aging Texas Rangers who track down Bonnie and Clyde. Very fun stuff. Loved it. The Chronicles of Riddick, one of the many Riddick movies. This was the 2005 version.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was the movie right after Pitch Dark. Or Pitch Black.
Yep.
Pitch Black was kind of the introduction. Now, you know, John, the girl who was posing as a boy, grows up, and they go to, what is the name of the planet that, like, the sun comes up and fries everybody because the temperature goes to about 700 degrees. But a lot of fun. I love kicking back and watching a good Riddick movie once in a while. Last one on Netflix I have is I See You. This was in like the top 10. It was number one or number two for a few days. Not really. I wouldn't call it a horror movie. It was an interesting story about this family who thinks their house may be haunted or their son is doing things that he's not, only to find out that there's these two people who secretly are living in their attic. They sneak in and do this thing called frogging with a PH because they hop from pad to pad. You know, that was their logic. And the guy starts messing with the family, like takes a picture out of the frame halfway up the stairs. It's like weird stuff. But then it starts turning darker. People get hurt. People get killed. And I See You Not ICQ, Craig.
I know. Yeah.
I and it doesn't stand for intensive care unit. It's literally spelled ISEEYOU.
I was thinking of the chat app.
ICU on Netflix. It's worth a watch because it sends you on a twist and turn and you're like, not sure how that's good, although I probably just spoiled it for everybody. The last one is The Chosen on Amazon. I'm over my 5 minutes because we had an interruption. We just finished season one and season two on Amazon. This is a religious movie about the story of Jesus and his followers. Well produced. It's crowdfunded. And it's we're now watching season three on the Angel app. So we have to watch it on Donna's phone and then cast it to the Apple TV.
Oh, yeah.
Which works out well. Very, very good story. And as we approach the Easter season, it's got extra special meaning. Even we are also in our Bible study, we're reading a book, or in my case, listening to the audiobook, 12 Ordinary Men. So it's fun to see where the movie aligns with the book and the characters and the characterizations. So having a lot of, not characters, they're actually disciples. Characters would imply they're fictitious, but they're not. Okay, I failed at getting my 5 minutes in, but I did get you eight things to potentially watch and what I thought of them. All very good.
Yeah, by the way, Clinton says, I think he's referencing when I was talking about Twitter, Tetris.
Yes.
Our big movies now are about Tetris and Air Jordans.
Well, we've had other video game movies.
Yeah, this one didn't really involve, it wasn't so much, it was about the game, not necessarily. I was thinking of, what was it, Pixels, the one with Adam Sandler, where, you know, there were characters were everywhere.
What was the first person shooter movie they made? Doom? No.
Doom. Yeah, Doom was
okay.
One.
Yeah. Well, that's not hard to imagine as a movie.
Yeah, I don't think it did so well.
All right, one more from the Geek Library.
Yeah.
Then we're out of here. Okay, from the New York Post or nypost.com, this gentleman, Hidrelli. I didn't catch his name real quick, but we'll get it on here. He, Hidrelli, I guess, Diao, is a contributor to the site Board Panda, and he asked AI to render many of the animated household names from The Simpsons as flesh and blood. So he used an artist. Very interesting stuff. I mean, these people look fairly like,
yeah, like kind of like what you think they learned. I've seen some weird ones.
Yeah, Homer looks like, you know, I swear we work with this guy.
he works in the nuclear plant at ServiceNow.
Marge, obviously, with the, you know, the big blue hair, is going to look a little, you know, characterized. But the facial features, the eyebrows, the eyes, they had a problem with Bart's eyes. Milhouse looks like, and you know, he's got the purple hair,
yeah,
and the heavy eyebrows, but the facial features make me wonder what this kid's going to grow up to be. Like, you got to click through the show notes at 707 on chuckchat.com and look at these when you see them.
Here's the kicker. Is the show's what 30 years old and they haven't grown up, so they probably won't.
I was a little disappointed with their Bart. I mean, obviously they had a problem with the eyes. The pupils aren't quite round, they're almost hexagonal.
Well,
but he doesn't have spiky hair. He's got, you know, like a Beefus haircut. He does. It's like, where's the spikes, man? That would be the first thing you'd call out.
I think, yeah. Actually, Lisa looks pretty good. I mean, it looks like Lisa.
Yeah. Lisa looks, you could definitely see that kid, Flanders, man. He looks like he's straight out of Anchorman or something.
Yeah, he does. That's
Or Banker Man. It's like, Flanders actually is those glasses give him that late 80s character.
I'm trying to remember who, but Mo looks like a comedian. What's that comedian's name?
I think I know who you're trying to talk about. Yeah. I think Mo is probably the they even gave him the turned up nose and everything. It's kind of creepy.
But he looks just like a comedian that I can't put my finger on it. Anyway.
Yeah, I know comedian. You might get out of here.
Yeah.
Crazy kids. Everybody thinks I'm funny because I look funny, but I'm not funny.
Right.
That was the best I could do for Mo.
Yeah. It was
okay. That is the end of it. I encourage you to go over to our show notes at chuckchat.com/technorama. Look for episode 707. Craig gets this posted. You will see down in the geek library, Simpsons in Real Life, a link to NY Post. If you haven't already seen it, go take a look. Give us your thoughts and let us know on the listener line. You can get a hold of us at 707-530-2428. 707? Wait. That's the episode number.
It is. That's right.
Oh, wow. We'll keep doing this till we get to episode 2428. And then.
Yeah.
Oh, it took us 18 years to get this far.
All right. So before we head out, look in the chat. Do you see anything in there that. The Technorama Illuminati.
Yeah, that was our secret club that you can get into if you pay for the.
Of course, the
Patreon membership.
That's right.
Send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. We would love to hear from you. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for watching. If you're watching live or later, if you're watching later, that's great too. Our question of the week that we leave you with this week is: what is the first sign that a movie is going to be bad?
Probably when they give everything away in the trailer.
I was going to say the same thing. That was my answer. Yeah, you when the trailer pretty much spells it out.
And you watch the movie and go, yeah, pretty much figured played out like I thought it was going to.
Yeah. No, that must mean there's not much left to show. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Other than that.
Yeah.
Dear listener, what do you have to say?
Something else.
Okay. Let's get them on out of here. And the answer is long. There we go. So you can get a hold of us, as Craig has on the screen, or I will say it to you. The listener line is 707-530-2428. We'd love to hear from you. Or send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. Thank you, Craig, for all of your help, putting the stories together, the show notes, getting StreamYard set up, all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He's more than just a pretty face on this show. Well, okay.
Thank God.
He's not even that.
If I was relying on this mug, I'd be screwed.
Hey, I told you, I only look funny.
That's right.
And if you have a friend that looks funny, tell them about Technorama. That was terrible.
I don't like the way this is.
That was not a good segue to go on.
No.
Until next time, Craig, give him a binary high five.
All right, 101.
Bye, everybody.